Good morning, church. Good to be back with you again this morning. You know, I absolutely just love that song, and I say this quite often. Whenever time I hear it, it amazes me how God blessed that man to write that song. And I know probably a lot of you here know, but you probably know he lost his son in the Great Chicago Fire. Then after that, his wife and two of his daughters were sailing over to England to a revival, and he was going to go over and meet them later. Well, on the way over there, the ship wrecked, and he lost his two daughters, and his wife made it, and she sent a telegram back to him, "Only I survived." On his way over there, where that shipwreck was at, he wrote that song. Now let that sink in. Let that sink in for a little bit. You know, the trials and the tribulations of this world, we all will go through them sometimes. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're out of them. But praise God, just like that song says, it can still be well with your soul. It can still be well with your soul. Praise His name this morning. Every time I hear that, it just blesses my heart that, you know, that God blessed him so much to write something like that and all the tragedy that he had in his life. Don't think this morning that woe is me. You serve a great God. You serve a great Savior. But you know what? He didn't promise you you wouldn't have trouble, but what he did promise you, that if you hold on to him, you will make it to heaven one day. That's what he promised you. Praise his name this morning. You know, we have been doing a lot of studying on the book of Revelation here lately. I know we broke off of it last week for Easter services, but the Lord has impressed upon me this week. Tink was out of town on Thursday, and I sat down and I just studied. I studied all day on this, and the Lord gave me a message on this. It's the signs of His coming. And I want to say up front to you right now, there's nothing left, sign-wise, for the Lord not to come back and take His church out of this world. There's nothing. But as you'll see here this morning, I want everybody to understand this morning, that those signs, If you're wanting to find him and look for them, and the Bible says we need to look. We need to look. As a matter of fact, there's only one book that tells you that it's blessed to read and it's blessed to talk about. You know what book that is? It's the book of Revelations. Now, I'll be over there a little bit today, but I'm not going to start my sermon from there. But I'm just here to tell you this morning. You know, sometimes people don't want to talk about the book of Revelation. But brother, you know, the Bible says we should. We need to. But anyway, I'm going to be talking about the signs of his coming this morning. And if you would, turn to Matthew 24. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and I'll be all over the place. But if you would, when you get to Matthew 24, look at verses 32 and 33, and stand with me this morning when you get there, please. In honor of God's word, if you can this morning. And it says this, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." Even at the door. Folks, we don't realize sometimes how close we are. The rapture of the church. Sometimes we don't realize it. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, I come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning. Lord, I want to praise you this morning. I want to give you the glory and the honor that you so richly deserve. Lord, I ask you, Father, this morning to open my mouth this morning. And Father, you put the anointing upon me, Lord. I pray that you'd open the hearts and the minds this morning. And let us, Father, learn this morning, Father, what you'd have for your word that wants to teach us this morning. And Lord, we will give you the praise and we'll give you the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, back in 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted. And I know some of you here probably remember that time frame. But anyway, the volcano is in the state of Washington. Whenever it erupted, it killed 57 people. Well, the warning of a possible eruption was made back in March and probably before that to let people know that thing was going to erupt.
Yet, although many heeded the warning, I don't know if you've heard of a guy by the name of Harry R. Truman, not Harry S. Truman, the president, but a guy by the name of Harry R. Truman, one individual, he did not heed the warning. And he was an innkeeper at an inn up there around the lake called Spirit Lake up there. He said he was going to be able to go to an abandoned mine shaft, and he had plenty of supplies in there. And one of the supplies he had in there, he said, "I had plenty of alcohol, I could make it through." That's what he said. That's what he was saying. And well, on May 18th at 8 a.m. in the morning, Mount St. Helens erupted. And what happened at that time, it sent a plume of 1,800 degrees of heat down off of that mountain, down through that valley. Also on top of that, about 500 foot of mud and lava come down off that mountain and just covered that whole thing down through there. Harry was never found. He was never found. He had all he needed to heed the warnings, Greg. He had everything. He famously stated this, and I wrote this down. He didn't think the volcano would ever erupt. People today say they don't think Jesus is coming back, by the way. He didn't think the volcano would ever erupt, and if it did, it would not hurt him. It would not get to him, is what he thought. Not even his own sister went to him. His own sister went to him and begged him to leave. And he wouldn't heed the warnings. He stayed. He stayed there. And we know what happened. You know, something else too that happened years ago that people didn't heed the warning on as well. And I'll get to the middle of my message. Back in 1900, the big hurricane hit in Galveston that killed 12,000 to 18,000 people, estimate. A hurricane. They had plenty of warning. You say, well, back then it may not. No, they had warning. As a matter of fact, the guy that was over the Weather Bureau at the time went out in a boat and tried to warn people, but they stayed on the beaches anyway. They didn't heed the warnings. You know, sometimes it amazes me. It amazes me. Down through time, we have preached about Jesus Christ coming back to get his church. And we have preached and told people, listen, you need to be right before Jesus comes or before you die and go out of this world. And so many times it falls on deaf ears. But can I say this morning, from this pulpit and from a lot of other pulpits around this country and around this world, the warnings went out. And if you disregard it, that is totally on you. Because I'm here to tell you, no one goes out of this world alive, number one. We all die and will stand in judgment one day. And I'm here to warn you this morning, up front, that listen, if you do not heed the warnings, it is not on your spouse, it's not on your aunt, it's not on your uncle, it's not on the preacher, it's not on the teacher, it's not on the church. It's on you. It is on you. In Hebrews 9:28, this is something I want you to say. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them, now I want you to mark this in yellow, unto them that look for him. Can I ask you this morning, are you looking for him? I'm looking for him this morning. I'm looking for him to split the eastern sky just any day, any moment. And if he decides that he doesn't come before I die and go out of this world, you know what? That's okay. One of these days, I know that I'll be with him. But it says, unto him that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's what he says. The point that the writer is trying to make here is to get across, it is a simple message out of that little verse right there, is if you're not eagerly looking for Jesus, if you're not eagerly looking for him to come, you're not going with him. Because I'm looking for him. I'm looking forward to him. In Luke 21:36, it says this. Jesus tells us, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God." I mentioned this morning, you know what? There's going to be a marriage one of these days. That's going to happen after God comes and takes his church out of this world. And before he comes back the second time to set up his kingdom. Brothers, I want to be in the marriage of the Lamb. I want to be in the great wedding supper one day. If you look in that verse that they were reading this morning in chapter 19, you'll notice there's going to be two suppers. One of them's the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage lamb supper. And the other one's going to be the great supper of God. And that's whenever destruction comes at the battle of Armageddon. And he says, guess who's going to be at that supper? All the birds of prey. I'm here to tell you this morning, I want to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. How about you this morning? Amen? We can't escape. Again, you know what the Great Tribulation? That's a time of such suffering and hardship that I can assure you, you don't want to be there. Christians, we won't be there. But I'm here to tell you, if you do not know Jesus this morning, you will be going through that this morning, whenever that time comes. There's going to be 21 global tragedies that are recorded in Revelation. It'll kill one-third of the earth population. And it doesn't even mention those that don't take the mark of the beast and what will happen to them as well. I'm here to tell you, you do not want to go through that. I've often said this. You think about this. You think, well, I can make it through that. You won't be able to buy food. You won't be able to buy medicines. You won't be able to buy anything without that mark. And can I tell you this morning, if you take that mark, you are doomed. Amen. Praise God. Because it will be a time of not being able to do that. The Bible does not specifically tell us when the rapture is going to happen. No one knows that. If anybody comes across and tells you, or anything like that, that they know when that happens, they are lying. They are a false prophet. Because no man knows it. Not even Jesus himself knows it. One day God's going to say, son, go get your children. And in that moment, he's coming back to get his church. But what it does give us is warning signs. And I'm here to tell you this morning, like I said, everything's already been to happen that needs to happen before he'd come back and get his church. But I want everybody to understand that, because there's going to come a time, like I said, look at the parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye shall know that summer is nigh. So likewise, Jesus is telling them this. When you look about at these things that I'm telling you and notice that they're just like birth pains. Women that have babies, you know what I'm talking about. You know that whenever labor starts, it may not be as strong as it is whenever it gets towards the end of it. And that's what's going to happen before the church goes out of here. What would I like to do this morning is give you some scriptures and signs to his coming, because the scripture tells us that we should know them. Now, let me say, all signs that I'm about to give you before the rapture happens have been fulfilled. And we need to understand that. And they could come at any time, but they're still going to get worse and worse to go into the Great Tribulation. We understand that, don't we? I hope so. Revelation 16:15 says this, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and seeth in shame." He's going to come as a thief in the night. The first thing that I would like to talk about, that a sign that happened, was that Israel became a nation again. That happened back in Isaiah 11, 10 through 12. And it says this. You can mark these down. You can go back and look at them later if you want to. "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, and it shall stand and is an ensign of the people. It shall the Gentiles seek, and the rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand Again, the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathias, from Crush, from Elam, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. In other words, what he's saying, he's going to gather his people back to his nation from everywhere in the world. Now get this, and he shall set up an ensign for the nation and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the despised of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And then in Isaiah 66:88, it says this, in 66:8, who has heard such a thing, who has seen such a thing, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or a nation be born at once? And the answer is yes. It did happen. On May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation again. After being in exile for years, Israel became a nation on that one day. Satan didn't like it. You know what happened on that same day? Six Arab nations attacked Israel that same day. Within hours after them signing to become a nation. But God was with them. They won that war. And guess what? They even expanded their territory. I'm here to tell you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Israel became a nation. That was the first sign. How's that important? Because Jesus Christ is coming back one day, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to come down and set foot on the mount. And when he does, he's going to set up his kingdom. That mount's going to be in Israel. That's going to be in Jerusalem one day. Israel's the only nation, I want you to get this, that God created with an unconditional covenant to the land. And one day, Israel's going to have all their land back. They don't have it right now, but they will have it back one day. The second thing that has happened, and I want you to understand this, is in Matthew 24:23, and it's a false prophet. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and there, believe them not. I'm here to tell you, for a lot of men have came and written books. And what they have said, and this has hurt Christianity. They said, well, back in 1988, they said there's 88 ways that Christ is coming back in 88. It didn't happen. There's been a lot of false people come and say, well, you know what? This is this time frame here because it coincides with the blood moon. It coincides with this. It coincides with that. Listen to me. That has hurt Christianity. And Jesus has said, do not believe the false prophets when they tell you that, because no man knows it. That's another sign of the end times, because there's going to be more and more of that. Do you understand that the more that we do that, the more the world's looking at us and saying, well, see, he didn't come. See, you were wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. The best thing we could ever tell anyone is, I don't know when he's coming back. I just know he is. Amen. Because this goes right into the third point I want to make, and that's the scoffers. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, the third and the fourth verse, it says this. Beginning, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, there is the promise, where is the promise of his comings? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. A scoffer is anyone who denies the truth of Scriptures. Listen, and entices others to do the same. I'm telling you, just because these people are out there today is another sign that it is growing closer to Jesus coming back, because the scoffers are growing more and more, and they're saying in their heart, like I said, listen, he hasn't come back yet. He's not coming back. That's just a fairy tale. I'm here to tell you this morning, he is coming back. Peter tells us, in fact, that many don't believe Jesus is coming back is living proof that it's imminent, that his coming is coming for too much longer. And it's going to wax worse and worse. Another sign, we're living in the last days, the preaching of the gospel around the world. The preaching of the gospel, listen, with the advent of TV and radio and biblical literature and the Bible itself in almost every language. Listen, we can get on our phones and you can communicate with anybody anywhere in the world. Right? We can do that. Listen, the Word of God is getting out there more than any time in the history of this world. You wouldn't have believed that back in the day when they had to write everything with a feather pen and with a candle at night to read. But brothers, today the Word of God is in every language. Yes, the gospel is being preached worldwide. It is going out there to a lost and a dying world. Listen, that's why I say Jesus could come back at any time. He could come back while we're standing here, while I'm standing here this morning. And that goes right along with my next point. The Bible talks about the knowledge explosion. That comes from Daniel 12:4. And it says this, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." That was written some 2,600 years ago. And yet, up till the beginning of the 19th century, things stayed pretty much the same. Right? Then came a great knowledge explosion that's happening to this point. We have cars, we have planes, we have satellites, we have computers, and now AI is starting to come on the scene. Don't imagine for a minute that this isn't part of what the last days are coming about. This verse has a twofold meaning. And I want to tell you what that twofold meaning is. Not only will there be a secular of knowledge, but also of the understanding of the Bible and of the Scripture as well. We have more knowledge, we have more commentary, we have more into whatever the Bible is talking about today than we've ever had in my life. I have an innumerable number of commentaries down at my house that I can read from. Not only can I go out on my phone, and not only can I go out on my computer, and I can gather any information that I want from any part of the Scripture. We listen to sermons all the time where people have the knowledge is just immense. There's no reason for anybody not to understand the Word of God other than just you don't have the Spirit of God in your life. We can understand it. None. These verses, they have a twofold meaning to them. Knowledge will increase, and especially with the Bible. The translation of "many shall run to and fro" is a time when much information will be available and people will be seeking to understand it. Anybody, Greg knows this, anybody that works in a factory, I don't have to go pull up a book anymore. When I worked, I could go to my computer and I could pull up on any piece of equipment to understand how to fix that piece of equipment. Brothers, there is knowledge everywhere for anybody. You know that. A time with much information available. Listen, how many of you can ask Google, you can ask Siri, you can ask Alexa, you can ask all these things. Because, brother, you can gather that knowledge in if you want it. The amount of information we hold in our hands and our phones is astronomical today. It really is. I often say this, but there is more power in your smartphone than the computers that landed man on the moon back in the day. And that was some pretty good technology back in the day, but it compares to nothing what's on our phones today. Another sign is the increase in global conflicts. We see it in Matthew 24, 6 and 7. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." I don't know if you know this or not. There's over 120 conflicts in the world today. Going on in the world today. You don't hear of all of them. You hear of the one in Ukraine. You may hear of the one in Gaza. You hear those. But there's over 120 conflicts in the world. That's amazing to me. That is the most since World War II, by the way. With the number of nations engaged in conflict at 50. 50 nations are engaged in conflict. 15% increase in political violence in the last 12 months. Brothers, we are living in a time when things are getting worse and worse and worse. The Bible is correct. Let all men be a liar. God is truth. Amen? Listen, we live in a day of conflict. Look at our streets. Look at what goes on sometimes in our streets. Look at what goes on across the world. We live in a day of conflict. One out of every seven people have been exposed to conflicts in this world. One out of every seven. Let that sink in for a little bit. Disease and famines are rampant. I read this the other day. You know this from listening to all the prayer requests in this church sometimes. Cancer in young people between the ages of 20 and 40 has increased, I don't know how many fold. I had the number, but I forgot to write it down, but it's immense. It has increased a bunch. Cancer in that. And listen, in Matthew 24:7, it said, there shall be famines and pestilence in the land. There are around 14,500 diseases that do not have a cure. Think about that. 14,500 diseases that do not have a cure in this world today. 9 million people die each year from famine. 9 million in this world each year die from famine. 21,000 each day. 733 million suffer from malnutrition. In the United States alone, get this, this great country of plenty, 20,000 people die a year from malnutrition. Let that sink in for a little bit. And don't think that the Bible is not true whenever it says that and it's going to get worse. I want people to understand this. We're just talking about how this leads right into, how it leads right into the Great Tribulation. But what it's telling us is, as you see these signs approaching, full well know that Jesus is coming back to get his church before it really gets bad. Natural disasters and earthquakes and storms and other things like that. We cannot deny that things are getting worse. Now, sometimes we hear about climate change. We hear about that stuff. And I'm not here to disregard that, because I do believe things are getting worse. Not because man, but because the Bible says that it's going to get worse. Listen, there's earthquakes, it says in Matthew 24:7, earthquakes in diverse places. Now, does it say that earthquakes are going to increase, or does it say that the earthquakes are going to be in different places? It says they're going to be in different places. Because there are 55 each day, there are 55 earthquakes each day, 22,000 each year of various magnitudes. And the only reason that we know about them is because people have things out there to register them. In my day and age, when I was growing up, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Patty, did you ever hear of a derecho back whenever you was a kid? Never heard of it. Brother, sister, it's real. We understand that, right? It is real. A supercell thunderstorm. I mean, I never heard of that stuff whenever I was a kid. Heard of tornadoes, heard of hurricanes. But now all these things are coming to fruition and are getting worse. And don't think for a minute that it's not going to wax worse and worse, because I believe that it will wax worse and worse. Yes. It's going to. Thunderstorm. That each year, they're getting stronger and stronger. Whenever they come and they say, well, the storms are getting stronger, yes, they are. Believe them. They are getting stronger. They are getting worse. Because I believe it's all part of this, like Jesus said, if you look at the fig tree and see that it's ripe, you'll know that the fruit's going to be ready. It's going to be ready whenever Jesus is about ready to come and get his church. And then the great apostasy will turn away. There'll be many that will turn away from Christianity. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In 2023, there was a study done, and it says this: 63% of the population claim to be Christian belief. That, you know, that's still over 50%, right? Well, back in 1990, it was 90%. That shows you how much they have gone away from the Christian belief. And in today's age, those from age 30 to 39, only 21% of them claim to be Christians or have anything to do with Christianity. Brothers and sisters, it is waxing worse and worse, and it will get worse. I mean, we're blessed with the ones that's in here in that age group here today. Thank good Lord you're here today. I'm talking about the majority that's out here in the world. The great turning away is upon us. It is upon us. And I'm telling you, listen, we hear of good revivals here once in a while. We see where young people are getting saved. We see this, we see that. And praise God for that. Praise His name for that. Thank God for the revivals that people have and for people getting saved. But as an overall thing, it is waxing worse and worse and worse. Jesus can still save, and He will still save until He comes back to get His church. Because that leads to my next point, and that's the overall moral decline that's in this country and around the world. In 2 Timothy, you've heard this before, in chapter 3, I know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, they'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is the thing that scares me the most. Having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's the last days. That's the days we're living in right now. You know when the last days began? They began on the day of Pentecost, whenever the Holy Spirit came. And from that point on till now, we're living in the last days. But I'm here to tell you this morning, as we get closer and closer, I like what a preacher said here a while back one day. He said, we're 7 days closer than what we were last week from the rapture. Amen? It's coming. It's going to happen. And I want to tell everybody this morning, I said some things like that. But Christians, we don't need to be afraid, right? We don't need to be afraid of it. But I'm going to read you why. Because Paul said this. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant. Do you know what the biggest congregation of church people in the world is? It's a congregation of the ignorant. Amen? He goes on to say, I would not you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I don't know about you, but I got hope this morning. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. I'm going to see Oki again one of these days. I'm going to see Rick. I'm going to see a bunch of people that I've loved down through the years that are Christians, and they have died and went on. We're going to see them again. It says, even so, which them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he ends it with this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Man, that's comfort to me. That's comfort to me knowing that born again, bought by the blood, Spirit-filled Christians, he's coming back to get us again one day. Take us to be with Him. We don't have to worry about the tribulation. We don't have to worry about none of that. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to come back down to this earth at the end of that tribulation, after the marriage of the Lamb, and we're going to have a supper. We're going to have a supper down here. Praise His name. Praise His name. Listen, the Bible does not say rapture. In the English Bible, it doesn't say rapture. But what it says, we'll be going to be caught up. But the word, the Greek word in there is ripio, which is the word for rapture. But it means caught up. So if you got somebody coming knocking on your door and say, well, it doesn't say rapture. Yeah, but it doesn't say that, but it does say we're going to be caught up one day. Amen. I'm longing. Now, these are just some signs that I give you to know that we are living in that time right now. And I hope and pray But if anybody asks you, what are the signs of the rapture time? Well, they're already fulfilled. We're just waiting on Jesus to come back. We're just waiting on Him to split the eastern sky one day. I tell you, I am longing. I'm longing to see the Lord Jesus come in the eastern sky. I hope and pray I get to see it before I go out of this world, Ron. I would love to, but if not, it ain't going to make no difference. I'm going to see Him again. I'll see y'all one day. Amen? We will. Praise God this morning. You know, I hope and pray that you understand this morning. These signs are there. They've been there. They've been happening for a while. And people have need to wake up. It's time to wake out of sleep, it says in the Bible. It's high time, as a matter of fact, what it says, for us to wake out, get out of our slumber. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything that we need to start doing, it's working harder to see people get in here to the Lord, talking to them. Amen? Let them know. Listen, it could happen in a minute, in the twinkling of an eye. Tink asked me a good question there last night. She said, well, if it's a twinkling of an eye, and the dead in Christ raised first, then we're called up to meet Him again. Isn't that a little longer than a twinkling of an eye? It's going to be, that's what I said, it's going to be like that. And that's all going to happen. And I'll give you my little, I'll end with this. Now, when it says the voice of the angel, archangel, and the sound of a trump, Olita, I think that's just for the Christians. When He comes back at Easter, I think that's just for the Christians. Greg, I think we're going to hear it. I'm not so sure everybody else is going to hear it. That's just my little humble opinion. Oh, they're going to see the after effects. They're going to see all the after effects. I don't think they're going to hear that. But I'm going to tell you something. When He comes back to set up His kingdom, everybody's going to hear it. Everybody will hear it then. Amen. Julie, get a song. If anybody has a need this morning, please come.